Good morning and welcome. First of all, I am technologically challenged, so I don't know how all this technology works, but I know one thing: the gospel must be preached. We're preaching out of Deuteronomy chapter 7 today. We've been going through the book of Deuteronomy, and this book has in it a hidden secret. That is, Moses never, ever taught the Israelis the law of God. Everyone believes that because it says so. The letter of the law says that. So this idea that he preached to the Jewish people was not for the purpose of them obeying the law, even though it says so in the letter. But if you read it by the Spirit, that's the hidden secret in the Old Testament. The gospel, Jesus Christ later said, Moses wrote of me. So in 1516, 16th century, Dr. Martin Luther, he began to search the scriptures and reading in the Romans 1:17, he read, "The just shall live by faith," which was not exactly what the Roman Catholic Church or what the Jews had understood. They thought they were under commands. They thought they were under laws. They thought that God wants us to please him. But God has never wanted us to please him. Never wanted us to please him. God wanted to please us. So any obedience would be by God keeping his promise to Abraham and fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So the law was given to Israel so that they despaired of themselves. What does that mean? It means that they despaired that man wanted to be God, not be like God. And so man rebelled against that idea. Adam and Eve right away rebelled against God's command, "The day you eat thereof, you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die." Anyway, not explaining that, but just that idea of sin and death was an old idea that came out of the book of Genesis. People then tried, therefore, all religions tried, therefore, and all religions are under the law. But that actually was a promise from God. You shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. No, even though they did, what he said was, you shall not. That promise is not at all destroyed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. That promise was, God made that promise, and he's keeping his promise. So throughout history, we've seen that gospel keeps expanding. And no matter what you hear in the news, and no matter what humanists think and say and do, this gospel of Jesus Christ is totally built on the good news of the kingdom of God. That good news is that God made a promise, and he must be faithful to keep that promise. So the Reformation was not about a new understanding of man. It was not the just shall even live by faith alone without the works of the law, even though that's what everyone thinks. It actually was the fulfilling in the 16th century of what was started when Jesus first came to earth. And he said, "Don't think I've come to do away with the law. I have come to fulfill it." But the law, if understood by the letter, it kills. But the law, if understood by the Spirit, gives eternal life. And so God has always wanted man not to be God, but to be like God. It's a big difference. And so the secret then to the Reformation was a new understanding of God. God was not an angry judge. He was always, always a loving father. When you get that distinction down, that God always has loved mankind from the beginning, when you were conceived in the womb, he already wrote on you, this one belongs to me, talking about every individual that he personally created. And so when he does that, you're born not in sin, you're born of the Holy Spirit. So even naturally you're born of sin, because that's the story of history, that man was born in sin, Adam and Eve sinned, and so mankind have been under a curse ever since, and so they make laws that force you, that compel you, that to conform to God's image and likeness. But we lost those when Adam and Eve sinned. Darkness came into every man's heart, and out of the heart comes all these sins that are mentioned in the New Testament. But those promises that God made cannot be annulled by a later law. The law is what's not. Jesus never wanted us to be under a law. He wanted us always to be under the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the whole idea that God came and sent his son, and he did it through his son, to not only die for us, but also to live through us to change us, to transform us into his likeness and glory. Not in heaven someday, on earth as it is in heaven. So we now face a virus. We now face troubles and problems. We're more interested in finding a solution rather than to ask God, what is the solution to the current crisis that we face? And it may well be just eating of the word. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Or it could be that God would actually tell us what we need is more nutrition in our diet and less medicines to deal with these things. Because a merry heart is good like a medicine, but it's not a medicine. So the true medicine is spiritual. And if you're born of the Spirit rather than of the flesh, then you have good news. Because the New Testament is called the four Gospels, are then the four living creatures in the book of Revelation and in the Old Testament as well. Those four living creatures are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So today we're not reading about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, although I'll refer to John in a minute. But we're actually reading Deuteronomy, which is the opposite apparently from the Old Testament. But Moses taught the gospel of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. So it's hidden throughout the whole Old Testament, all the way from Genesis to Malachi. And because of that, we can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ by looking to see if we can see Christ preached and taught in the Old Testament, especially Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, which is called the Torah, or the teaching for the people that are looking for the Messiah to come. So Jesus is the Christ, which is the Greek understanding, Christus. He was the Christ that actually was the Messiah of Israel. And so he is the Messiah of Israel. And so Israel plays a major role, and that's why the Bible is made up of Old Testament and New Testament. So the gospel of Jesus Christ is hidden in the Old Testament, but then revealed clearly in the New Testament. And so when it's hidden, that means it's buried under the law. If you read the law by the letter, it brings death. But if you read the law by the Spirit, it brings eternal life. So we've been teaching that for the last few months. Teaching that for 2020, let's take the hardest book in the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, and see Jesus on every single verse, page, anything that you read in the Old Testament is always preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I'll have to prove that today, and I will. Because chapter 7 in Deuteronomy, and I'm going to read that right now. When the Lord, your God, brings you into the land which you are entering to take possession of it, and clears away, God will clear away many nations before you. The Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hittites, and the Jebusites. Seven nations which are more powerful, more numerous than the Jewish people that came out of Egypt are. And so because of that, when God does it, because man can't do that, when God says something, that's the authority we have. When God says, I'm going to do something, he's going to do it. If he wants to call you a saint, you are a saint. So everything in the New Testament, not written to the sinners at Rome. No, it's written to the saints at Rome. It's written at the saints of Corinthians and so on and so forth. So the Bible is always good news. Always good news. There's no bad news throughout the whole Bible. Because even Moses taught the Old Testament. He taught the hidden secret of it. And so he preached Jesus. He taught about Jesus. And Jesus in the New Testament said something about that, that Moses wrote of me. Now I want to finish the chapter 7. So all of these nations greater and mightier than yourselves, and when the Lord your God gives them over to you, so they're going to surrender to the work of, not Moses, but to the work of Joshua, which is the same word as Jesus. So Yeshua is what Jesus is called in the Old Testament. He was like Joshua, and he's the one that once they entered the land, he became the leader. Moses, of course, died and was buried, and nobody knows where his grave is to this day, or Aaron itself. And so it was hidden, just like the gospel is hidden in the Old Testament. That's why, as Christians, we have to read. No, not have to. You want to read, and you're exhorted to read. You're beseeched to read the Old Testament, because it's the same as the New Testament. The doctrine never changes from Old Testament to New Testament. And that's why this seventh chapter of Deuteronomy is actually teaching the people of Israel not to obey the law to please him, but to not do anything except preaching the promise that God made to Abraham and is now fulfilled in Jesus Christ in the New Testament. So this is good news. It's always good news. Everything God does is perfect. Everything is right. It's just. It's true. It's totally completed by Jesus Christ, as in heaven, so on earth. Not in heaven someday. It's right now. It's immediate. When Jesus came, that's what he did. He died for us. He now lives in us. He will work all his works through us. To God be the glory. So this is the New Testament good news. And it will never go away, by the way. You can say what the humanists say and all the people say. They know nothing. Because the Bible says, you know, why do the nations rage? Psalm 2. And why do the peoples imagine vain things? Because man, at his best state, and this is in Psalm 39, I think verse 5. But anyway, it's in the Old Testament. It says man at his best state is altogether vanity. In other words, nothing. And you need to be a nothing for God to do everything for you, in you, through you. So this is the gospel of the New Testament. If you think it's gone away, if you think religion is, you know, old hat, no. The old message of Jesus and his love will never go away. I'm telling you right now, history will be rewritten, because it's going to agree with Scripture. Everything in Scripture will definitely come to pass before this world is over. And God is rearranging the world right now. Right now, he's rearranging the world so that you begin to laugh and have a merry heart and be good like a medicine. Because you need to know, this world is not in man's hands. It's not in the experts. It's not in the, you know, the bureaucrats and so on and so forth. They're all humanists. They come up with human answers to problems that God allows so that we may come to an awareness that the law says your flesh has to die. Your flesh has to die, otherwise you won't go to heaven. And the only one that can do that is Jesus Christ. The only one that's your Savior. He's your Lord. He's your bridegroom. He's your all in all. And that's why I'm happy all the time. I'm not miserable. I'm not sad. Because I know that happiness and joy lead to holiness. If you're not happy because of what Jesus did for you on the cross, you'll never be happy. That's the only thing that can make you happy, is that you live by a promise that God made, and He has to keep it. He's obligated to keep His promise. He cannot lie like man. Let God be true and every man a liar. So what men does goes nowhere. You'll never be rewarded for keeping the law, because no one can keep the law. Jesus Christ kept it for us. He's now transforming us by living in us until all unrighteousness is gone on earth, and until the wicked are in the lake of fire and all those things. Jesus did all of that, and He hadn't even come back a second time. He's waiting for the church to be hot today. Zestos in the Greek language. Zestos means that He has a zeal, and the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish everything God said through Jesus Christ, according to the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're not going to go into that. I want to read the seventh chapter yet. You shall not make marriages with these nations, these seven nations, giving your daughters to their sons, or taking their daughters for your sons, for they would turn away your sons from following me, says God, to serve other gods. Then the anger of the Lord would be kindled against you, and He would destroy you quickly. And that's what happened to the Jewish people. When Jesus came, He found no figs on the fig tree during the fig season. And so then, therefore, they were now not His people any longer, unless they do it by faith in Yeshua HaMashiach in the Hebrew. And so Jesus is the Savior, not only of the Gentiles, He's the Savior of all men. And He is the Savior of the Jewish people as well. Any that go to heaven is because of their messianic understanding that God is always a loving Father. He is never an angry judge. We think of Him because of the commands in the Old Testament, but the commands are not His eternal will. His eternal will has always been the gospel of Jesus Christ, which forgives you all your sins, cleanses you from all unrighteousness, perfects you in love on earth, not just in heaven. And when you're perfected in love, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love, because God is love. And He's now perfecting you in love, and He's now killing off your old man in your soul. When you sin, you don't sin from the heart, because you have a new heart. When Jesus came, you immediately had a new heart by hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ and becoming happy about that. That God is going to keep His promise, and His promise is, the work that I began in you, I will surely complete it without your help. I will do everything that needs to be done to save you, to rescue you, to forgive you, to live in you, to live through you. And so that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. So do not put your trust in man. The middle of the Bible, in Psalm 118, verse 7 and 8, says, put not your trust in man. Put your trust in the Lord. And then it's even going to clarify that and said, put not your trust in princes, in kings, in rulers. Put your trust. And that, a ruler is all the way from a mayor locally, and municipal laws, and, you know, state laws and federal laws. Don't trust those people. They're just people like ourselves. And they sin just like we do. And so there's no difference then. Law will never get you to heaven. No one ever goes to heaven by keeping the law. You cannot keep it. You can't even stop sinning. You can't do anything. You're addicted to sin ever since Adam and Eve. And so now God is wanting to then say, pay attention to the Old Testament, where my gospel is being preached by Moses. because he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Savior, Lord, and Bridegroom. He would destroy you quickly, but this shall you deal with them. This is how you do it. You shall break down their altars, one. You shall dash them in pieces, two. You shall draw down their Asherim. That means the Queen of Heaven. You shall destroy everything you see about them. Don't show them any mercy, because these religions are not religions at all. They're human religions. They are not God-made. They're not God-wrought. And so for Christians, we're only speaking to here the Christians, because we can understand the Old Testament and the New Testament, because therein lies the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's hidden, but you can uncover it by saying to the Holy Spirit, who inspired the Bible, Old and New Testament, please, Holy Spirit, as I read these words, help me to understand, to see Jesus in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. And he will. He will absolutely do that, so that you understand all mysteries, not only of iniquity, but also all mysteries of the gospel of righteousness. And so he teaches that throughout the whole Bible. By the way, we live by every word that is constantly, continually present active indicative, constantly, continually proceeding out of the mouth of God. Old Testament, New Testament, the whole Bible. And so that's why we read the Bible every day. I do, because I'm a pastor, but you also need to read the Bible every day, because you live by every word that is constantly proceeding out of the mouth of God. And you can read one passage, John 3:16 or whatever, every day and get something new out of it. This word is so rich. It's your eternal life. It's the fact that you will live forever and ever, world without end. So the second paragraph, for you are a people holy to the Lord. Be ye holy as I'm holy. Be ye perfect as I'm perfect. Be ye righteous as I'm righteous. So God is the measure. Man is not the measure of anything. I'm going to say that again. The Enlightenment was built on this concept that man is the measure of all things. No, man is the measure of nothing. And he is nothing, and he'll remain nothing until he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and makes him his Savior, him his Lord, and him. Beholding him, we are changed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, sin cannot have dominion over you. But if you take your eyes off of Jesus and start looking for the fruit, you start looking for the things that God produces. No, he'll produce them only if you're looking at Jesus. But if you take your eyes off of him, you then die. You then perish. And so God doesn't want you to take your eyes off of Jesus Christ. Beholding him, we are changed from one degree of glory, sanctification, to another degree of glory, glorification. You will be perfected in love before he comes back. You'll be a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. I'm reading that in the Old Testament by paying attention, not as the letter reads it literally, but as the meaning when you're born of the Spirit. But if a Jew is not born of the Spirit, he won't have faith in God. Abraham did. Abraham looked up at the stars in the sky, and all of a sudden, God counted that as righteousness. You'll have more children than these. And, look at the sand of the sea. You'll have more children than that. You'll have more children than the dust of the earth. I mean, that's a lot of children. Because everyone that lives eternally is because of Jesus Christ being your Savior and your Lord and your bridegroom. You know, the Jewish people made a mistake in killing Jesus, but they really didn't. Because it turned out to be good news. Actually, when Jesus died, he died for our sins. He died for our being cleansed. He died for our being perfected in Jesus. Jew or Gentile, the same. No difference in the doctrine. The doctrine of salvation is Old Testament and New Testament. Never changes. It cannot change. One thing that's certain in this world is the Bible. This Bible teaches Old Testament and New Testament is exactly the same thing, And everything else is vain. Everything else, man at his best state, nothing. You remain nothing. I'm sorry, the world doesn't understand that yet. The Jewish people don't understand it, particularly those Orthodox Jews. But other Jewish people today are turning to Yeshua HaMashiach, the Jesus, the Messiah of Israel. And that's a blessed idea. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God hath chosen you to be a people for his own possession. In other words, God loves you as much as you love God. In other words, God makes you the wife, the bride of Christ. He makes you equal to him, not equal like your God, but equal that you can be like God as the bride, because the bride doesn't have to do anything because it's a promise. In the promise, then the promisee follows the words of the promisor. The promisor is God, and you're the promisee. And so all you have to do is nothing, because he made a promise to you. And you're the one that benefits from that promise. You're the one that's made righteous by that promise. You're the one that's forgiven from all your sins from that promise. The blood of Jesus dying on the cross purchased everybody in the world, not just Jewish people, Christian people, not just Buddhists, Hindus, and witchcraft people, Satanists. He died for everybody. He'll forgive the sins of everybody, no matter how you've behaved or misbehaved. It doesn't matter. Only thing that matters is your heart is knit to God. You have an intimate relationship with the living God, and he wants to then perfect you, and he won't if you're not born again. If you don't have that foundation, nothing will be built on it. But if you have that foundation, he'll build you into a righteous person so that you're perfected in love. And so you live by the liberty of love operating through you. That's powerful. So you can now do the works that he did, only you don't do them. Actually, he does them. To God be the glory. And so when you do a good work, it's actually God doing it for you, in you, through you. And so you don't get any credit. You don't get any wage paid for your sins. The wages of sin is death. So you don't get anything. You can work 8 hours a day, 1 hour a day. It's just by mercy. Everything is done by mercy, because God is not only good, that's his nature. He not only is gracious to you, that's who he is, but he also gives you mercy through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the mercy triumphs. The mercy praises, the mercy rejoices over against the judgment of God. So the judgment of God in the Old Testament is overcome. So God's judgment is not on you any longer. You now live by the faith of Jesus Christ. You are crucified with Christ. And it's no longer you who live. It's a Christ in you. It's a new you. You're a new creation. Kaine katesis in the Greek means new of a different kind, not natural, not part of this world. So that's why Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is something that will never, ever, 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 ever end, because it's older than the Old Testament. The Old Testament is young compared to the gospel of Jesus Christ, which he did before the foundation of the world, before there even was a world. He already was slain from the foundation, knowing that when you sin, not if you sin, but when you sin, he will forgive that sin, past, present, future. And he will give you then the good work he began in you. He will then perfect you in love. And so that's what's happening right now. The old world is dying away. The law is dying away. You can't go to heaven by a law. Under a law, nothing is made perfect. And you can only go to heaven if you're perfect. But the only reason you're perfect is because Jesus, who is a perfect sacrifice, died for you. Now you don't have to die. You cannot die. It's impossible for you to die as long as you're in relationship to Jesus Christ. So religion is over, but this new religion is the true religion, the religion of faith. And that's the religion that he gave to Abraham. In the foundation, before the foundation of the world, he always knew Abraham would be born and then do these things. I'm going to keep reading. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord your God chose you. You were the lowest and the fewest of all peoples, because it is because the Lord loves you. God is love. And everything that God does for anybody, as long as you believe that Jesus' words is your only salvation, Jesus is your Savior, He is your Lord, and you submit to Him, then He is the one that cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Then He is the one that perfects you in love. He's the one that began a good work, and He will surely complete it. You didn't have to help Him. And so this is a new understanding of God, that He's always been a loving Father. He has never been an angry judge. And Martin Luther discovered this in year 1516, in the year just before he did the 1517, when he did the work on indulgences, and said, you know, if the Pope is really merciful and he has all the power, then he ought to forgive everybody, because he would be then God, and he can't do that. But Luther wanted the Pope then just to free everybody from the law. But he couldn't do it because he didn't understand the New Testament. And the present Pope is included in that. They've been like that ever since the beginning. And so I'm not saying he's not a bad person. He's probably a not very nice person and so on, a humanist. But humanists do not go to heaven. Only Jesus Christ is the only way you'll get to heaven. And not just preaching letter of the word. You have to preach without a law, without the words of the law. Man is justified by faith without the word of the law. You cannot do the works of the law. It's impossible for you to do it. So it's because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath which He swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and has then redeemed you. And so now the Lord is completely redeeming us. I can read that in the Old Testament or the New Testament. He is always a Savior. He is always a Lord. He is always the bridegroom. And Jesus Christ will be your bridegroom forever and ever and ever, world without end. So I could read on and do it. There's another three paragraphs. But if you read this in the Old Testament as a Christian, or as a Jew, or as anybody, you can read it and get the good news out of it. But if you read it and you didn't believe Jesus' words, you're not going to believe what Jesus said. You cannot. If you actually read it by the letter of the law, it's going to condemn you. It's going to say you're not worthy to enter into heaven. Now I want to read what Jesus said. This is what Jesus said in John, the 5th chapter, beginning at verse 36. But I have a greater witness than that of John the Baptist. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, John couldn't finish these with his word. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. You know, you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit with fire. He's the bridegroom, and I'm the friend of the bride. And all of that. He could not get you to heaven by his words. His death did not bring anyone to heaven. But Jesus said, I have a greater witness than John. But John is the greatest of the Old Testament. He is, because he introduced me. He introduced me to say, here's the Lamb of God that's going to take away the sins of the whole world. Jewish, Gentile, whatever you are, Jesus will take away your sins. That's why he died for everybody. Everybody. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I now do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. So if you see me doing all your works, all your good works, because you cannot do good unless you're born again of the Spirit. If you're born of the Spirit, of course you can do them, but actually you didn't do them. Actually, Jesus did them for you, in you, through you. That's the way they were done. So God gets all the glory. What's he going to do with his glory? He's going to give it to you because he loves you. He loves you. Everybody. He doesn't hate anybody who has sinned. You have sinned, but the only sin now is not believing in Jesus. He changed the whole meaning of sin. Sin was, committing adultery, committing murder, and bearing false witness, and not loving God with all your heart and soul and strength. That has changed. In the New Testament, that's not the sin that he's talking about. He's talking about one sin. When Jesus speaks, you can live by every word that he speaks for you. No other religion can do this. It's impossible. I'm sorry, we're not downing any other religion because God loves you. And the only reason he loves you is that he would have a church that would be not lukewarm. And that's in the Revelation, the chapter 3. You're not a lukewarm Christian. You are a hot Christian because you are believing that Jesus will keep his promise. That's what's different about our religion than any other religion. It's the gospel. It's good news. You don't have to keep the law. It's already been kept for you by Jesus. You can't cleanse yourself. Jesus will do that. You can't perfect yourself. Jesus will do that. So everything is done by Jesus for your blessing. So this is what it says. And the Father himself bears witness and has borne witness to me. You have never heard his voice, talking to the Jewish people, at any time, nor have you seen his shape. And you have not his word abiding in you. The Old Testament. You have not his word abiding in you, because you read it by the letter, not the law, by the Spirit. For whom he has sent, him you believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life. But it is they, the Old Testament scriptures, that bear witness to me. They're only talking about me. Moses wrote of me. He didn't write of anybody else. He wrote about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Moses actually said this by saying, after he had given the commandments, the next day he said to him, by the way, I know you Jewish people. You're going to get all the curses and not the blessings, because you're a stubborn and steadfast, stiff-necked people. And now he's not saying that to criticize them, because that's a fact. You are a stiff-necked people. And because of that, you won't bend, because you want to be God rather than be like God. So you disobeyed Moses. You haven't disobeyed me. You've disobeyed what Moses wrote. And so I'm not your problem. It's Moses. You don't even like him, because you haven't done what he said. And he said, another prophet God will raise up in the end times, in the last of times. He'll raise him up. And that was 1,500 years later, when Jesus was born. And that prophet then died for us, died for all mankind, not just for Christians, not just for Jews. He died for anybody. Whoever has sinned, he died for you to sin and repent of that sin. Meaning, it doesn't mean repent, means stop sinning and start doing what's right. Repent means hanan in Hebrew, which means graciously God has forgiven you. Comfort yourself. And so that's in the 40th chapter of Isaiah. Hanan, hanan, or nehum, nehum, naham, naham. That is, comfort yourself, because I am now, I've already forgiven your sins. I've already taken them away through Jesus Christ. But they couldn't read it that way. Your warfare is over. You're not at enmity with anymore. I've forgiven you. You're forgiven. It's already done. Well, they didn't read it that way because they read it by the letter of the law and they were afraid they hadn't done enough good works to please him. You don't have to do any good works to please God. So you search the scriptures, you think that in them you have eternal life? It's they that bear witness to me. But yet you do not believe me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. He's talking about their eternal life, Zoe. Because he's a person. I receive not honor from men, including John the Baptist. I don't receive honor from him. But I know you, the Jewish people, I know you that you have not the love of God. You're still angry. You're still trying to keep the word and do things you cannot do. You cannot do them. You're trying to do something you cannot do. But I have come in my Father's name, and you received me not. You didn't receive me. You're against me. You want to kill me. You want to destroy me. I'm the only hope you have. But you want to destroy the Savior that God has sent, the Lord that he has sent. You want to see, someday I'm going to come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and destroy all of those who will perish in the lake of fire. But I don't want that. I want you to believe on me, and so it's good news. How can you believe which receive honor one from another? Humanism. And seek not the honor that comes from God only. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There's no one that accuses you. Even Moses, in whom you trust. He doesn't accuse you. He's preaching the gospel. He's setting you free. He's offering you a way out of all your troubles and problems. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed. If you had believed anything that Moses wrote in the Old Testament, if you had believed any of it, all the way from the Torah, then to the wisdom literature, all the way to the prophets, if you had believed anything, you'd believe in my words. But you don't believe my words because you didn't believe his writings. Moses is your trouble. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? So this gospel that I'm giving you today is the good news. And it's so powerful. Mom, there's a little sign on here, I think, if you can erase it. My wife is more technologically astute than I am.
I know
nothing about anything. But I don't know if you can see me or not see me. There's a little blurb on there. Just touch it.
I think it's just saying
not going away. Anyway, I want to pray for you because I don't know what time it is. Oh, I still have a few minutes. There it is. Forgive me for, I'm learning how to operate with machines and conference calls and stuff like that, but I've never even had a phone. I've never had one, and the one I had, it was stolen by a guy who stole my car. I'm using the phone right now, and so I lost all those minutes and all that stuff. I don't know anything what I'm talking about. I don't know what a password is. I don't know what anything is, but I know the gospel inside and out. I read the Hebrew, Greek, Latin. I read it all because every day I spend at least 4 or 5 hours studying the scripture because it's good news. And for me, it makes me happy all the time. It makes me free. If you're my disciple, you'll be freed. Anyone who believes in my disciple, John 8, if you believe that, 31 through 36, I do believe and I'm happy all the time. And who did that? I didn't do it. God did it. I wasn't even trying to be a Christian. I wanted to be a pagan. I enjoyed sin. I thought sin was great. Lying, cheating, stealing. I didn't care. But one day, Jesus Christ took pity on me. He showed mercy to me, and I got it from the Word of God. I got it. I wasn't even wanting to be a Christian. But now I'm in love with Jesus because he's in love with me. He loved me when I was a sinner. He loved me while I had no interest in him at all. He was irrelevant to my life. I had education and the humanist and all that kind of stuff. But I realized that's nothing. God wants me to actually fall in love with him intimately. He's my all in all. I don't want anything else. I don't want anything of this world. I'm not interested in the bad guys. I'm not interested that the bad guys repent and so on and so forth. I mean, I want that. But I'm not interested in doing it because Jesus is going to do it. I cannot save you. I cannot heal you. I cannot do anything, but I can pray. And I do pray daily. People call me daily, and I pray for them. Because it happens. People happen. I'm not looking for it. I just do it because Jesus says do it. I'm not a pragmatist. I'm not a utilitarian. I'm not any of the philosophies or ideologies or religions of this world. I blow them all away because they will not get you to heaven. They're not going to get you eternal life in this world and eternal life forever and ever, world without end. In other words, no beginning, no ending. But someday we'll be priest kings like Jesus. And when he comes back again, that's when we become priest kings like Jesus. As soon as he comes back and judges all of those wicked people that had no belief in him, no faith in him, like they were stubborn and steadfast, like and stiff-necked, like in the Old Testament. Okay, but here is good news. That Jesus loves everybody. He's never made anybody, he's never created anybody to kill him. He's never created anybody to do harm to them. Of course, by foreknowledge, he already knows who's going to believe and not believe. And he loves us who believe because that's what he wanted. Just shall live by faith. Now, I want to read to you 10 ideas that I have, and I think I have the time to do it. These 10 ideas are very powerful. Number one, man shall not live by bread alone. That is, it's found in a couple of the Gospels. Man shall not live by bread alone. In other words, everybody's a bread eater when you're born. You want nourishment. You want to have, you want to sustain yourself by having the milk you need and the food you need and so on and so forth. But man shall live, on the contrary, but man shall live by every word in the Bible. Every word that is constantly proceeding out of the mouth of God. In other words, you must have a worship of God that's from mouth to mouth, from God's mouth to your mouth. In other words, when you worship God, it can't be just you're just performing. It can't be just that you're, you know, performing some acts to please God. No, he doesn't want you to please him. He doesn't want you to pay him back. He doesn't want you to do anything. It's just a free gift. He wants you to be happy and safe in this world, not just in the world to come. He wants you to start heaven today. He wants you to be completely free today, forever and ever. This is good for the church and the state. The state is totally dependent upon the church. I know they've locked us down and we're all in quarantine and so on and so forth, which was wrong. But so what? Don't fret because of evildoers. Let that happen. Because it can't hurt you. Because Jesus, if God is for you, who can be against you? So let the evildoers do what they do. You can pray against them and so on and so forth, but there's no curse in the New Testament. Forgive them. Bless them. Love them. Do good for them. Everything. That's the way we live. Because God will take care of us. God always has taken care of me, and he always will. I don't have any doubts about that. So the first thing is, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Every single word in the Old Testament has eternal life in it. I don't care if it says the word command, it's actually a promise. Everything that's a command is actually a promise. You shall not have any other gods before me. That's a promise. It's a description of me. It's not a prescription that I have to obey. It's not a proscription that I'm going to sin and die. It's not dooming me at all. This is a description of me in Christ. Not me, but me in Christ, or Christ in me. Because he loved me before I loved him. He first loved me while I was a sinner. And so now I haven't stopped sinning. All I've stopped is not putting my eyes on anyone but Jesus. My whole thing is Jesus. I'm in love with Jesus forever and ever and ever. And I'm never going to take my eyes off of him because he's my all in all. Number two, Almighty God is the ultimate authority in the universe and in this world of mankind. So anything on this world, and it's all operated by laws, those laws will never perfect you. Because even though he's the ultimate thing, he sent the Son into the world to be our Savior, to be our Lord, to be our bridegroom. Now, next one, two, or three, whatever it is, there is no supernatural creature in the universe. Not one. Not the devil, not the demons, not the false angels, or any other creatures, cherubim or whatever, that have done something wrong. Or any human authority or power in this world. He's not. These people cannot stop God from doing what he wants to do. They are not able to gainsay his words. Anyone tries to detract from Jesus' words or reading the Old Testament according to the spirit of the law. Anyone that reads it according to the letter of the law doesn't know the secret. The secret is in the Old Testament, under the law is hidden the gospel. That's what Moses did for the Jewish people. And that's what he needs to do now for Christians. Christians should read this Bible. Christians need to read the Old Testament because it shows that apart from God, you can do nothing. You are a nothing. You have nothing. Because apart from God, you don't have a life. You don't have eternal life. You don't have any kind of life. You may exist, but you don't have eternal life. You don't have even bios. It may kill you. Sin and death. But you are now reading it so that the Old Testament condemns you for trying to be God instead of... that's idolatry, by the way. You've made yourself an idol. You think you're God, and God is not. You think you're in control of everything. You control nothing. Everything is controlled by God. Everything. Without exception. And so, the fact that you're under an illusion that, hey, I can do something good today, and I did. I know some people have said, you know, we don't like the thing you're praying because we did good works and we're still doing good works. You didn't do them. Jesus did them, or else. Because if you did them, they're not perfect and you will not go to heaven. So the Old Testament clarifies this because you cannot gainsay. Gainsay means you can't argue with God and win. If Jesus said something, you can't change those words. They are eternal. And not only that, you can't thwart his purposes or his ideas. Whatever he says, it's permanent. It's everlasting. It can never be changed. So you can neither gainsay his words, nor you have to just trust in God, because you cannot thwart his purposes on earth that you'll be like God. You will not be God. You'll be like God, but you will not be God. Even for all eternity, even when you're in heaven itself, you still have to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. He's your husband. You are the bride. You are now the wife in eternity. All of that is a description of who you are. You are the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. You're the dwelling place of the living God. You're overcomers. And all the stuff that the Bible teaches, especially in the New Testament, tells you who you are in Christ Jesus. Because otherwise you're just yourself, and yourself won't go to heaven. Because you can't do good works to please him. He wants to do all the good works and get all the glory. And what's he going to do with his glory? He'll give it to you. Because you're going to inherit everything. In heaven, everything he has is yours. Everything he has is yours. It's good news. I mean, it's so powerful. Number four, the ultimate authority, power, and dominion, God, rules over the natural heavens and the earth. So everything that God does is, he is the ruler. He's God. No one else can replace him. That's why you can't be God, because there only can be one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And you are also made in his image, so you also have spirit, soul, body. And those three match each other. But that's his work. That's not your work. Let him not only create you, that you sinned, Adam and Eve sinned, the original sin, but now Jesus came to remove all sin, forgive all sin, pardon you from sinning. So you have a pardon that trumps anything that's happening in this world. Because it's a pardon that says, I don't care what you did. I only care what I did for you, and now in you, and then through you, so that what I did was to save you, rescue you. Salvation has a three-part. It's forgiving you of all your sins, past, present, and future, and also then cleansing from all unrighteousness, that's some of it, all unrighteousness, so that he can perfect you in love. That's the gospel. That's the atonement. At one meant. That's what God wants you to be, like God, but you can't be God. You can only be like God. The humanists are wanting to be God. All the Enlightenment people have no light in them at all. They have total darkness. So never trust man, never trust princes, never trust even pastors. Don't trust them. Go to the Word. Find out if what they said is true, and you can read it for yourself. Just say, Holy Spirit, help me to understand what you've written here, because I want to know you as God. I want a new picture of God that's a loving father and not an angry judge because of what I did or didn't do. He is able, number five, to say or do anything he wishes. If God wants to do something, you can't stop him. You can't gainsay his words, and you can't thwart his purposes or his whole benefits that he has for you. And by the way, in Psalm 68, verse 19, it says that God is good, and he daily loads us, plural. He daily loads us with blessings. Praise God. I don't even know all the things he blesses me with. But everything he's blessing with, and once he blesses you, you can't be cursed. Once he blesses you, you can't be cursed. You know, you could curse yourself by just saying, I don't believe in that rubbish anymore. I don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God and so on. It is. Jesus is the living Word. The Bible is a written Word. But the written Word always, always leads you to the living Word. And so everything you're doing is to have life now, to have happiness now, to have joy now, to be free now, and to limit the government, to limit all human government, because they need to be bound by chains so that their hands don't reach too far, so that their feet don't go too far and trespass against your liberties, which nature and nature's God hath given to you. So God is God, and there's no one else. And if you do what God says, he'll bless you. He'll heal your land. He can heal America. He can heal the world. But I'm afraid that he's already said that not all of the nations are going to make it. He's the governor of the nations. Any nation is not governed by man. It's always governed by God. And Texas is one state under God. So you who live in Texas, but so is America. All the states are under God. But we've forgotten God. Okay, that's a sin. But he forgives those sins. You know, say, God, I was trying to make it on my own. But now I'm looking to you as my Savior, my Lord, my Bridegroom. God will forgive everything. He wants you to repent and believe on the gospel. His will and pleasure always prevails, whatever God wants. This is all not about man. It's all about God. You're not God. You'll never be God. For all eternity, you'll never be God. You don't have total control of everything. God sees everything, knows everything, has everything, and he's able to just speak a word, and it's there. Let there be light, there was light, and so on and so forth. So God can make you a saint overnight. 7, when he acts, he requires no approval from man. He doesn't want man's approval or help. He doesn't need any help from man. Everyone else, the other gods all want the help. You know, the gods are mad at us. Let's do something for them so they won't be mad at us. No, the God's never been mad at anybody. He created you, and he created you, and he's the only judge. There's no emperor. There's no pope. There's no anybody in the world that is higher than God. A vicar of Christ is nothing. He just represents God. He's no different than a pastor, So all the world is totally out of order. All the world is totally out of order. But you need to be in order. Individually. Individual rights. You have a right individually to worship God according to the dictates of your own private individual conscience. You need to realize that was given to you by the founders. Same as in America. They gave we the people all the power. Not the government. The government's not the power. They've just been delegated that power. They're derivative of the Constitution that the people wrote. The people wrote this Constitution, and Texas then also, not original, they borrowed the idea. And then they improved on it. Their Bill of Rights is even stronger than the federal Bill of Rights. It's just 16 words. But their Bill of Rights has a lot of provisions. And there's there's 19 original ones in Texas. And one of them, Article 1-6, it says something like this. Man, it says all men have a natural and indefeasible right to worship God. So we have a right. We shouldn't be quarantined here. We're the ones who should be praying as a group, as a gathering. Every Lord's Day we should gather at least as a body of people and pray for the nation. Pray for wisdom. for our president and for everyone. I don't hate anybody. I'm not hostile to anybody. I go all over the world. I go to China, India, you know, all over Africa. I go Europe. I go everywhere because I'm always loved because I have good news. I didn't make it up. I'm just plagiarizing the Bible. I just say what the Word says, and it works. And millions of people all over the world, they love the gospel. And I meet with presidents one-on-one. And I don't have any protocol or understanding of anything. I just am an ordinary person. But I can preach the gospel, and I can live the gospel in such a way that people say, you know, he is favored by God. Well, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible that God favors me, blesses me all the time. I don't know how it works, and I don't care, because I'm not proud of myself. I'm a zero like everybody else, a zero, a nothing. But God then does everything. I give him all the praise. I love him. Number eight, when he acts, he requires no man's permission or approval. And he acts as he pleases. So the whole idea that God acts as he pleases, if whatever pleasures him, he does it. And Jesus said, I created the world along with the Father and the Holy Spirit. We all had a role in creation. Now we have all role in redemption. And now we have a role in perfecting you as a believer. And so we want you to be perfect. So when Jesus comes back, he'll have a marriage supper of the Lamb. Happy is the man that, you know, is part of the Lamb. Have an invitation to it. But you only have an invitation if you're a believer. You don't have an invitation because you did all the works. Jesus did all the works. To God be the glory. And the last thing I want to say is all his words are good, right, true, just, wise, perfect, beneficial for you. All his words, God's words, are, you're the apple of his eye. You're the one that he loves with a perfect love. He'll never stop loving you. Even if you go to hell, he didn't send you to Hades. He didn't send you to the lake of fire. That's not his will. His will is for you to be saved. But he won't use force. He does not use a law. He's not under any law. He is a gospel preacher. And so is his son. And so is Moses. And so are the prophets. And so is everything in the Bible. Everything else is a lie. Everything else is not true. We respect other people. They believe in something we don't believe in. But we don't respect their ideas. People are equal. People are equal. But their ideas are not. Their ideas don't work. And you want the truth? It's in the Bible. Only Jesus can set you free forever and ever and ever. I hope you're blessed today. And I love you with everything I have in me to preach this gospel. And I thank you that what the devil meant for evil, this virus thing and so on and so forth in quarantine, it's actually worked out good. It's worked out good. So I don't know how many people that I have listening. I don't even know who you are. Some are from California. Some are from the East Coast. Some are from South Texas. They're from all over the United States. And even Uganda and people here and there. So they're hearing it. I don't know how they hear it. I don't have any idea because I'm not savvy to how do you get this word out. I just know, thank you, Jesus. So I love you all with a perfect love. Let me pray for you. God bless us and get rid of this virus. Not by finding so much the wrong answer, but by finding the right answer. Not for looking for a cure for this. The cure is the balm in Gilead, that spiritual cure, which is nutrition. We should eat every day, not of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but we should eat every day out of your mouth. We should now nourish ourselves, and that's what the communion is all about. Your blood, drink your blood, eat your food. You are from heaven, and thank you that people should be nourished by not only earthly bread, but also by heavenly bread. And that's you, Jesus. Bless everybody. Heal our land. Heal everything about us. And we give you praise. I don't mean everyone is going to be blessed because that's their decision. That's their idea whether they want to doubt Jesus' words or believe in Jesus' word. But I pray that they would, that their heart would be softened and that they would repent of all their sins, comfort themselves, that God loves them and He always has and always will. In Jesus' holy name, and everyone said, Amen.